Let's turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, we're up to verse 22. And we could read much farther, but we're reading just to verse 24 because we need to see something important here. And pause. We're getting into some rather deep territory, but it's important that we think carefully about just these three verses and what they mean. Jesus does something that is amazing. It has a huge impact, and there is a positive response, and there's a negative response. And even the positive response doesn't quite take in everything that Jesus has just done. It's pretty common for the work of Jesus Christ, if you've been following the Gospel of Matthew. But here we have it just in the space of three verses. And then we're going to have Jesus' response to those people who oppose him. Verse 22, "Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils." Precious word for the living and the true God. Huge impact in what Jesus does in verse 22. And then the response of the people, positive response in verse 23. And then the response of the Pharisees, a negative response in verse 24. That's our passage. But why is there such an impact? Jesus has been healing people before. But when he heals this man, it's a triple healing. That's why it has such an impact. And nobody really, in the following discussion, which we'll get to in a couple of weeks, no one really talks about the issue of causing the blind person to see and the dumb person to speak. It's the fact that this man is demon-possessed that is the issue. That's what has the great impact. That's what enables people to begin to think about Jesus Christ in messianic terms. There is an action that Jesus takes, but it is piled up the wonder among the people, because the understanding is it was the demon that was causing this man to experience blindness and the inability to speak. Now, when they say dumb, a lot of times it means someone who can't hear as well. They had to bring this man to Jesus because he couldn't get there on his own. The demon was holding him back. The demon had this man in its grasp. And the people knew this. That's the impact of what Jesus has done. He hasn't just healed one ailment. He's done three miracles at once. But the background miracle, the thing that really impacted everything, forces a response from the Pharisees. They must respond. And everybody sees the power of Jesus Christ. No one in this passage denies it. People see it, and the Pharisees see it. The only thing that the Pharisees can do is question the source of it. Jesus has the power. It's obvious. He has caused a demon-possessed man who is blind and dumb to be released, not only of blindness, not only of the inability to speak, and possibly hear, but the demon itself is cast out. That's the source of the problem. And Jesus demonstrates his power over the spirit world once again. And the people respond. This healing has an impact. It's stated very briefly, but then we see how the people respond. The people are amazed. This is a very particular word. It's not the word wonder. It's a different word. It has to do with amazement, but a little bit of confusion. Is not this the son of David, they say? But it's the idea of saying that Jesus is the Messiah, but not being sure how to fit all of the categories together, because Jesus does not fit their expectation of what the Messiah should be. He's gentle. He's lowly of heart. He's not making a big noise in the streets, and yet he's able to cast out a demon. Surely this has to be. Could he be? It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing that your Savior was able to cast out a demon that was holding back a man's ability to speak and ability to see, so that people had to help him come to Jesus in the first place. And he doesn't shout about it. There are a lot of people claiming to be the Messiah at this time in history. And the thing you do is you go into the public square and you make a big noise. I'm the one. But Jesus is able to do this. The people are amazed, they're stunned, and they're trying to figure it out. But they use the language of Son of David. Son of David. We've seen it before. It's actually something that Matthew in his genealogy started building on. But in chapter 9 and verse 27, two blind men are following Jesus Christ, and they cry out and say, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." And Jesus privately speaks to these men and asks them if they believe that he's able to do this, and they say, "Yea, Lord." And he touches their eyes, and he says, "According to your faith, be it unto you." And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, "See that no man know it." What's going on here? Son of David, have mercy on us. He's able to do it, but he tells them not to speak about it. You know what's going on. You know that Jesus Christ is actually God the Son in human flesh. You know that he's going to the cross. You know that he's going to be rejected by his own people. You know that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to give his life for sinners. That's how he's going to bring us into fellowship with God, through his death and resurrection. But by the time this has happened, the people are already beginning to think in the categories of the Messiah. They haven't put it all together yet. Is not this the Son of David? Jesus told John the Baptist what was going to happen when the one who was to come arrived. He said, "The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Jesus Christ made it very clear that the fulfillment of Isaiah 35, that we've seen again and again and again, is a sign that the Messiah has come. And the people, seeing what Jesus Christ has done, causing this demon to release a man's sight, to release his ability to speak, recognize the Messiah. They can't quite figure it all out, but they recognize the Messiah. Same problem John the Baptist had, by the way. He's beyond people's ability to grasp a Messiah like this, with this power. Gentle. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. The people are not prepared for everything that Jesus represents. Well, the Pharisees can't deny this great miracle. Everybody saw it. It would be ridiculous for them to try to say it didn't happen. It was like mass hypnosis. You guys don't know what you're talking about. Baloney, we don't know what we're talking about. My uncle saw it. My little girl saw it. I saw it. My wife saw it. What are you talking about? But they go in a different direction. If we can't deny the fact that Jesus Christ has this power, can question the source. The original cancel culture, right there in the pages of the New Testament, just maligned character. But they're going pretty far when they're maligning his character, aren't they? The Pharisees say, "This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils." They're saying he's on the devil's side. He's using the devil's power, and he's casting out devils just to try to trick people so that they will be confused about the devil. Jesus is going to address this in the following verses, which we'll get into. But you need to understand that what Jesus has done is he has presented the Pharisees with something that they could not deny. The only thing that they can do is question the identity of Jesus Christ. The people are beginning to figure it out. Prophecy is being fulfilled. John the Baptist, for all that he did not understand about the timing of what Jesus Christ would do and what he would do in regard to the final judgment, understood that what Jesus Christ had done was a fulfillment of prophecy. It's Isaiah 35 in open public display. The people know it. John the Baptist knows it. The Pharisees know it. The demon knows it. What is it that keeps people from recognizing the true identity of Jesus Christ? Why this hostility to the Lord Jesus Christ among the Pharisees? We find out if we read other parts of the Gospels that part of it was envy. Envy. Imagine that. The Messiah comes, And you envy his influence because you want it for yourself. Sound like a human reaction to you? Let's just call him names. Ever seen that before? It's not an old tactic. I mean, it's not a new tactic. It's not a new tactic, it's an old tactic. But the Pharisees have it exactly backwards. What they say about the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to find out in a few verses, is blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. That's what it is. If you're wondering what it is, you can read the following verses, but you need to understand from verse 24 and what Jesus Christ has just done. It's a denial of who he is. Because the Holy Spirit, you see, is giving us this account in Scripture, the work of Jesus Christ. We've had the explanation of the person of Jesus Christ. It's the fulfillment of prophecy so that you might recognize who Jesus Christ is. And the Holy Spirit is making it abundantly clear to the point where even his enemies have to admit that he has the power. And the people are beginning to raise the question of whether or not this is the Messiah. And they think he is. They just can't figure out why he's behaving in the way that he is. Left to ourselves, without the Holy Spirit guiding us to understand the fulfillment of these prophecies in Jesus Christ, the true weight of what Jesus Christ has been saying and doing, we would be as confused or stubbornly resistant to Jesus Christ. Tonight's takeaway lesson is you need the Holy Spirit to understand verses 22 and 24 as they point out who Jesus Christ is. You need the Holy Spirit to help you to understand. And never fear if you ask the Father in heaven to give you insight into who Jesus Christ is, he will make it clear. He has been unpacking it in the Gospel of Matthew from the very first page, the genealogy. We have been learning about who Jesus Christ is. And now we have seen that the Lord Jesus Christ is able to cast out a demon that was holding back a man's ability to see and speak. And he is being called the Messiah, the one who would sit on David's throne. The public pronouncement concerning Jesus Christ is getting to be too much for the Pharisees. My question is different. When you're by yourself, when you're thinking about Jesus Christ, who is it? You don't have to tell me. You don't have to tell anybody right away. But if your answer is anything like the confusion and tentative response of the people here, or the restructuring of the identity of Jesus Christ, like we see in verse 24, then I would suggest to you that what you need is the Holy Spirit to do something as mighty in your life as what was done in verse 22. And never fear That happens today. We don't see people experiencing this sort of miracle today with the kind of frequency that we would expect when the kingdom of God was coming through Jesus Christ. But there are people who have the Holy Spirit open their minds and hearts. They suddenly realize who Jesus Christ is, and it changes the course of their life. I have a sister-in-law, grew up in a home with parents who don't trust in Jesus Christ, they're atheists. She got to college, and someone shared the gospel with her, and she said, "No one ever told me this before." College! That's because when the Holy Spirit opens your mind and heart, you're able to understand who Jesus Christ is. We need the Holy Spirit in order to understand who Jesus Christ is. And then when the Holy Spirit shows us who Jesus Christ is, we need to listen. And that'll prepare us for the verses that we're coming up to. But we need to understand this. The Lord Jesus Christ makes it very clear in verse 28 that he casts out devils by the Spirit of God. And this is a sign that the kingdom of God has come. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask each one of us to, in our private thoughts, consider whether we understand that Jesus Christ has cast out this demon by the Spirit of God, and the kingdom of God came through him, or some other explanation.